Hello, and welcome to Me, the Wife, and Wrexham AFC.
A weekly podcast and YouTube channel where we discuss all things Wrexham AFC from the point of view of long-term fans and new fans.
So sit back, put your feet up, relax, and let's get stuck in. Hello and welcome to episode 93 of Me, the Wife and Wrexham AFC promotion special.
Yes.
Time's going up, ole ole. Yes. I just can't stop singing.
It has been one hell of a week.
It has been.
In a very, very good way.
Yeah. Well, do you know the weird thing though, is we did last week's podcast. Mm. We didn't really talk about the possibility of promotion. I think in the sense of, nope. I knew it was, but did you fall over then?
No, my chair spun around.
We didn't really talk about it. No. I knew it was possible,
yeah,
but I didn't know it was possible. That doesn't really make sense. I think mathematically, I knew it was possible, but I just think that game on Tuesday was so big. Was there too many variables, do you think, in the week that may be why we were talking about it, but not loads. It wasn't like this is nailed on, do you know what I mean? It was different last year. We had the Boreham Wood game and we knew, go to that game, win it, that's it, done. This year, it wasn't that. There was so many variables. This has to happen. Then this has to happen. And then that has to happen. Then we have to win again. And it just seemed like there was so many different things that could sort of scupper it for us.
Yeah.
That maybe that's why. I think round Wrexham, we were sort of talking about it in sort of hushed tones, like a dirty secret, like in the corner of rooms, just going, you know what could happen Saturday, don't you? And it was a weird week. And I think after what happened Tuesday, that's when everyone started to go, right, get the calculator out. What is actually needed now? And I think it was a weird week, but such a good week.
Yeah, it's been a good week.
It has.
The fact that there were two home games as well, I just think that made it even better.
That for me is what I wanted.
Yeah.
I think most people expected us to need something from Crewe. That's what everyone was expecting, that we were going to have to go to Crewe and pick up points for us to get promoted. That was sort of horrible in a way because, you know, most of the fans who were there on Saturday wouldn't be at Crewe. You know, there'd be like 1,200 fans there. And you can't
go,
you can't really go storming an opposition, you know, a team's pitch in the same way as you can with 11,000 other Wrexham fans. Do you know what I mean? So the hope was it was going to happen when we were at home and we could all celebrate together. Back to back.
The result gods were definitely looking down on us.
They were
on Saturday.
They certainly were. I think, yeah, definitely. 100%. I mean, back-to-back promotions, it's not as rare as you might think, if I'm completely honest. A lot of people go, oh, I bet no one's done that before. They have. Quite a few people have done it. I mean, if you look back just in the last 25 years of me remembering, mm-hmm. you know, I remember...
Can you remember 25 years ago?
Well, yeah, really. I mean, that's my max, that's my limit. I mean, I remember... Like Tranmere have done it quite recently, back to back.
When you say recently, you mean in the last 25 years?
No, I mean in the last like 4 or 5, Tranmere have done it. Burton did it quite recently.
Mm-hmm.
When I say I couldn't put a year on it. I think Rotherham have done it, Peterborough. There's quite a few that I remember going back to back certainly in my lifetime. In the last 10, 15 years as well, you know, this team. So it's not as rare as you might think that it is. If it's still really nice. I did find a stat this week though. The most common back-to-back promotions is from League Two to the Championship. Okay. So...
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So that's the most common. Seven teams have done that in the last 25 years.
Yeah.
They've gone from League Two to the Championship back-to-back. Which bodes quite well for us, really, because what a lot of the stats and a lot of the people were saying when I was reading this was the reason it's more common League Two to Championship is that the jump from League Two to League One isn't actually that big. The difference in yeah. quality between the teams in League Two and League One isn't as big as you might think. Therefore, that's why more teams go League Two, League One, Championship back to back. Now that is sort of music to Wrexham fans' ears, really, isn't it? Because it's sort of like, well, we've done the National League one, which some might argue is the most difficult because there's only one promotion place. Done that one. Done League Two,
which is three.
What?
Three places.
Which is three places, a little bit easier. And then, you know, then you're on to League One, which
is only two places.
It's only two places, but, you know, you're talking about...
What's in the Premier?
What do you mean? To go up to the Premier League, it's two. To go up to the Premier League is two places. In the Championship is what you mean, isn't it?
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, so the top two in the Championship go up to the Premier League.
What about to stay in the top? What do they have? Like, because you obviously have top one, two, three. You can't go any further than Premier, can you?
No.
So what is it, 1-2-3 or 1-2 or?
Oh, in the Premier League?
Yeah.
They're just, what they're playing for is Champions League places. So it's the top four qualify for the Champions League. I think there's an extra place this year. We're talking about Champions League already.
We've only just
promoted from League Two.
You've got to believe, haven't you?
You might as well. What's the point in just going, you know, in not believing that we can just kick on and do something else?
There was something on Twitter. Somebody, I think Ollie Palmer, obviously, when we were in the National League and we were like going for promotion, he said that we're going to do it this season. And we did.
Mm.
And then he said at the beginning of this season, League Two season, he said, we're going to do it again.
Mm.
And everybody was going, oh, how arrogant can you be?
Yeah.
Da, 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 da. But then I think, you know,
he's right, though.
Well, he was right. But why would you not be positive about your own team? Why would you say, well, we're just going to go back down to National League next season, I reckon?
I'm with you there because I don't get this. Because we are going, look, we're back in the team. We think we can go and do it again. And we think we're good enough to go and do it. And we get accused of being arrogant. Whereas, doesn't everyone go into every season thinking, look, we're going to
play, not.
And just have that belief that your team is going to do something, you know, because surely without that, what's the point?
Yeah.
What's the point in going to the games?
What's the point of the players thinking, oh, I'm just going to go out there today, but we're not going to promote. So what's the point?
Yeah,
it was just such a stupid comment by this person.
Yeah, it's something that happens a lot. And another stat for you.
Well, we missed the stats today, are we?
Yes. No professional club in the English leagues has gone back to back to back ever. There are plenty of semi-professional lower down the league teams. There are teams who at the time when they went back to back to back were semi-professional. They are now professional.
Yep.
But nobody has done it in a professional environment. So no one's done three promotions in a row. So that's something to aim for, obviously. There are quite a few non-league teams who have done it.
Uh-huh.
One I'm not going to mention. South Shields have done it. Truro.
Who's that?
I'm not saying. Their name isn't getting mentioned on this podcast. So
I think I know.
Yeah. So
somewhere over the border.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, pretty much everyone's over the border to us, aren't they?
No, but yeah.
So, yeah, there are teams that have done it.
Yeah.
But it would be really nice to be the first, wouldn't it? Another record to aim for, I think, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just feel like the sky's the limit at the moment. I think what's happened now, I think brings to the top of the pile the need to have some quite awkward decisions, to make some awkward decisions.
Yeah.
Not awkward, but difficult decisions, yeah. I think, in the sense of our playing sort of like staff, shall we say, in that... You know, we're not going to talk about this today.
I was going to say, I don't want to talk about that.
No, we're not going to talk about it. We're not going to talk about it today. But what it now does is we do have players in our squad that potentially have been deemed not quite up to the level of League Two, hence why they're not playing regularly.
Yeah.
Some are coming to the end of contracts. Some aren't so much. But, you know... that's exacerbated the need for that conversation now, hasn't it? Because we're not the players who aren't quite good enough for League Two, perhaps.
They're not going to be.
That doesn't matter anymore because we're now a League One club moving forward. So
it's crazy, isn't it? League One club.
It is.
Do you know what I've done already? Mm. Obviously, we don't. I think you kind of get an idea who's going up and who's going down in League One. You can kind of work it out. But what I've done is I basically have got all the badges.
Have you ready?
Ready to start doing my match day posts.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm excited now.
I'm excited. It's quite a bit of travelling to do in League One as well. Based on who's there at the moment, there's not too many local, what you would call local teams. You know, we've got... You know, in this league, you know, you'd argue you've got your Tranmere, you've got your Crewe, you know, you've got Salford, you've got a few clubs which are Northwest, Morecambe, maybe could sort of Northwest sort of clubs. Not so much in League One. Some travelling is going to have to be done. You know, you've got your Lincolns, your Exeters, you know, your Stevenages, Leighton Orient.
Okay, here's a question for you: which is the club? That is, this test your geography now because I have no idea. Which club is the furthest south
Exeter.
From us and which is the club up north?
Furthest north.
I'd say Carlisle at the minute, but I think, aren't they going down?
They're going down, yeah.
So they're out of the question.
Yeah, you're probably right with that one.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you've looked at a map to come up with that because I don't know, your geography's terrible. So
I know that Carlisle... because Louise goes there and I know where it is.
Right, okay.
I know it's near Scotland.
Quite far. I'm not sure. My geography's not great, if I'm perfectly honest.
I need Alfie. He's amazing at geography.
He is. Lincoln? Is that north? Quite far north?
Why are you asking me that? I don't know.
You've asked me, so throw it back at you.
Maybe I should have researched it before I asked you that question. But it was. I just wanted, you know, it's kind of... Yeah, there will be a lot of travelling, I think, and it'll be nice to go to lots of new grounds,
a whole new set of grounds.
Yeah,
yeah. And I tell you what. Now, I'm a bit disappointed with is there are clubs that we didn't get to go to this season that for one reason or another, maybe it was. That you know, because we've got a child and the travelling distance would have been too much.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever reason, there were various reasons, not able to get tickets.
That's
whatever
probably
it was.
The top 10 reasons why.
But now I'm quite disappointed that we didn't go to them because you sort of look at our situation at the moment and you sort of think, when are we going to get a chance to go there again? You know,
just have to go and do a tour or something.
Yeah, I think doing a tour of the 92.
I'm not that actually fussed about it, to be honest.
Okay, well,
so you can crack on with that if that's what you want to do with
Look,
the time.
We're not going to talk too much about League One. We've got a whole summer to talk about League One and what's coming up. And we will do all the stuff that we did last summer, where we sort of... Every week we'll sort of pick a team that couple of teams that we're going to be playing the following season. Once we know 100% who's going to be in that league, give you a little bit of a rundown of that club, how far they are away, all that sort of stuff. We'll be doing that throughout the summer when there's no games on. But look, it's just exciting, isn't it?
It is exciting.
It is exciting to be moving on. And I think a lot of Wrexham fans will be similar in the sense of, if we stay in League One for a year or two...
It won't be as bad.
It's not the end of the
world.
Yes,
but do you know what? at the beginning of this, well, when we promoted from National League to League Two, people were saying that if we stay in League Two,
yeah,
it'll be all right, it'll be all right. But then people, we started to obviously creep up the table quite quickly.
Yeah.
And everyone was going, and then we were kind of doing badly in some games. People were going, oh, we're rubbish. And it's like, well, you said you were happy 1 minute, but now that we're kind of you know, almost in touching distance.
But you didn't let me finish.
Sorry.
If we were to stay in League One for a year or two,
yep,
it doesn't bother me. You know, as long as we're looking competitive,
being consistent.
We're rebuilding that team a little bit. But having said that, I genuinely think we could have a good go at it, you know. I genuinely think, I think there are
factors.
Five players that maybe need to leave and be replaced with some better quality.
Yeah.
Another five. And that new five coming in, for me, could be the work that could put us at a whole different level.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep saying we're not going to talk too much about this.
Stop it then.
But I genuinely think we could have a good go at it next year.
Well,
I do. With the right recruitment, let's be honest, there's been one or two recent recruitments that I'm not convinced about. And I haven't been 100%. And I think one in particular, without naming them, I think we gambled on heavily. I think we sort of went, we're going to take a gamble on this player last minute in the transfer window, and it didn't pay off for us, I don't think. So I think just with some better recruitment, get the right players in, I genuinely think we could have a good go. And like I say, I think the sky's the limit.
Anything's possible.
We were watching Man City play, weren't we? Oh no, we were watching Match of the Day.
Yes.
Man City was playing. And I said to you, I remember going to watch Wrexham playing Man City in the league at the Racecourse. I remember that. And look at them now. So it's not... Yeah, all right, they've got a sheikh who owns them, who has got bottomless pockets.
And I said to you, do you think Rob and Ryan know a sheikh?
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to need one soon.
Yeah, but, you know, and so I get there is a difference there. But I think it just shows that if you get the right people in, maybe in Man City's case you spend a bit too much money, but, you know, more than you're allowed to, but hey-ho. Mm,
that's a different story.
That is a different story.
For a different... podcast entirely.
Completely. But
a Man City
one. I think, you know, if you it just shows what's possible.
Yeah.
You know, I in my lifetime, I've played Man City in the league. You know, do you know what I mean?
You personally.
Not me personally, but I've been there when we played them in the league.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people at the time were saying, look, Man City don't deserve to be in this league. They did deserve to be in that league. Everyone who's in a league deserves to be in that league. Okay. And they were always said that they were bigger than the league they were in. They weren't because, look, they ended up getting promoted out of it. But you're never bigger than the league that you're in. You know, so, and, you know...
I bet people think that about us, though, don't they? Because of who our owners are and all that jazz.
Perhaps.
But anyway... Let's talk about the Crawley game on Tuesday.
Yeah, let's go through the full week. We're not just going to jump ahead, are we?
I wish we could.
I mean, we've already jumped ahead a little bit by talking about League One next season and you know...
But we will circle back onto it. So, Crawley.
Yeah.
It was a good game on Tuesday.
It was. I always felt that this game was going to sort of define our season for us. I think... For me, it was all about Tuesday. I wasn't looking ahead to Forest Green. I wasn't really thinking about what are MK Dons. I was a little bit, but But for me, it was you've got to get your own house in order first.
Uh-huh.
You've got to look at Crawley. You've got to focus on that game. You've got to turn up for the full 90 minutes.
Yep.
And you've got to play them off the pitch. Look, I watched the Crawley-Mansfield game, yeah? So when Crawley beat Mansfield 4-1 at Mansfield, I watched that game.
I think that made people a bit nervous.
It did.
Yeah.
But I knew from watching that game that we were never going to allow Crawley to do to us what they did to Mansfield. We just weren't. We were too well-drilled at the back to allow that to happen to us.
Yeah.
So I wasn't worried about that. but I still felt it was probably the toughest game that we had left. Mm-hmm. And I think, if I'm honest, I would have been happy-ish with a point from that, as long as
wouldn't.
I think I would, you know, because I think a very good team on a good run had just beaten one of your promotion rivals 4-1 at their ground. They're pushing for the playoffs. I don't think it would have been a complete disaster, a draw.
No.
If I'm honest. Look, I'm happy it didn't go that way, obviously.
Very.
Now, but
it's just such a shame that they managed to get that last minute goal, though, isn't it?
I know,
it?
But come on, you can't have everything in life,
no,
can you?
Can't.
I mean, before the game, they'd only lost one in their previous seven. They'd won five. Were you nervous Tuesday?
Do you know what? That actually wasn't one of the games that I was worried about. I think the Crewe and Stockport game I was worried about.
So you're looking ahead that far?
Because I hadn't worked out, like, what we... Because obviously, I am a new fan, so... I don't know, can I still call myself a new fan?
I don't know. I was just thinking that. When you said it, I think you are, because...
In the terms of, compared to you, I'm definitely a new fan.
Yeah, but I think in the sense of a footballing sense, I think there are still things that you have to still ask questions about.
Yeah, of course.
So I think you can still hold your hand up as being a new fan.
Yeah.
Because you get what offside is, for example, but every now and again you go, why is that offside?
Yeah.
Because, like, something will happen that's slightly out of the norm and you'll go, well, why is that offside?
Yeah.
Or why is that that? So I think you can still claim to be not just a new fan of Wrexham, but still a new football fan as well.
Yeah, when it comes to stats and what we need and all that kind of stuff.
And some of the rules and the rule change. Yeah. I'll be honest, the rule changes are hard for someone like me to keep up with sometimes. You know,
In relation to what you were, like, in answer to your question, I wasn't nervous about Crawley because, like I said, I was looking way, way ahead to Crewe and Stockport. Because, you know, obviously Stockport are where they are.
Yeah.
Two, it was away. Crewe was away.
And you said two was away. You meant Crewe was away.
I did. I meant Crewe was away. It was just...
Well, that's quite good for you then, because I think the nerves for everyone else were on that night. But the fact that you were looking so far ahead maybe alleviated your nerves
for that night a little bit. I do get nervous, and I think with the Forest Green game, because I knew what to expect, I think that made me nervous.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, a lot of people probably weren't nervous for the Forest Green game because they kind of...
We'll come on to that.
I think I was... Because I've always got faith.
Yeah.
Somebody actually put... she's part of S4C, actually.
Yeah.
Aerilis. I can never say her name.
Aerilis.
She commented and she said that my optimism paid off in the end.
Yeah.
And, it did.
Yeah.
So, you know...
I'll be honest with you.
You're welcome, Wrexham. it's my optimism that got us promoted.
I'll be honest. When I asked you if you were nervous,
yeah,
I didn't think that was going to fill 5 minutes of this podcast. If I'm only joking.
Anyway. Yeah.
Look, we made two changes.
Yes,
Ollie came back, which I think a lot of people are quite happy about. Elliot Lee came back in, although we say he came back in, but he played an hour of the game before because of Mendy's injury. So it didn't really feel like a change, did it, that Lee came back in? Because it sort of felt like he played the whole
game. But he started in the starting 11, so that's what that means.
Yeah, so there is two changes.
Yeah.
Crawley are very much a ball-playing team, well-drilled, can move the ball about nice and quickly, which I don't think a lot of our opposition have been able to do. I've said it before, and I'll stand by it. I think we're a little bit we get sucked into playing the same way as our opposition play.
Yeah.
A lot of the time. Which I think is why in big games, when we're playing teams who like to get the ball down and pass it around and are well organised and well drilled, I think we get sucked into playing that same way, which I'm going to say it, we're better than anyone in this league at doing. But when teams decide to just start knocking long balls, we seem to go, oh, we'll do that as well. And we start knocking long balls. And we're one of the worst in the league at that. Yeah. So I think that's why I think when we play the good teams who can play football, we play well because we mirror their way of playing. And that's why perhaps we've struggled against the worst teams this season, because we've tended to mirror the way that they've been playing, which is not always been the prettiest of football.
Yeah.
But that, look, they were well drilled. I knew they were going to be tough. I think they had sort of the earliest chance, half chance sort of thing. Mm-hmm. They had a shot on target. But Barney put his 1-0 up with his face on 20 minutes.
Bless him, that must have hurt.
I don't think it would have hurt. I think, I don't know. It was just, it was a decent cross. I think the thing to take away from that goal was a good cross.
Yeah.
You know, it was a good cross from Elliot out on the left. And Barney just put it in with his face. Put your face where it hurts. And he got it done. I don't know what to say about that so much as, I don't know if he's just a little bit bad at headering the ball into the face.
I think it was the I think it was the angle that it kind of came down. I think he was trying to get his body in a position where he could kick it in.
Yeah.
But yeah, his face got there first.
Yeah, no, look, I was really happy. It was like a sense of relief, I think, on the night. And then 2 minutes later, I would say arguably one of the goals of the season for me. It was from the edge of our own box. Went out. We played through the middle beautifully. I think it was Tom O'Connor to Elliot Lee, swept round to Barney. And for me, the best part of the whole move was Andy Cannon's run that he made. It was just,
it's like Forrest Gump, wasn't it?
He broke his neck to get round the outside of Barney.
He did.
Perfect cross. And I know it was only a tap in, but as a team goal, I don't think you can get better than that. That is a great goal in any league. If Arsenal would have scored that, or Liverpool would have scored that, or Bayern Munich would have scored that, it's still a great, in exactly the same way, it's still a great goal. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Whatever league you're in, that wouldn't look out of place, that goal, as a top quality goal.
Yeah.
And I was really happy to see something like that, knowing that you've got that in your locker, that you can just pull that out and go, right, we're just going to destroy you from back to front in the space of 10, 15 seconds. And just, you know, and it was a perfect cross. And I think that the thing that made that goal was Andy's run for me. And to talk about him a little bit, I mean, we've talked about him a lot, but he's just been phenomenal the last 2 months, and hasn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought when we were in National League and he wasn't really in the team, and then I remember him coming into the team or back into the team, as it were, when we were away at Dagenham and we won 3-0, I think, away at Dagenham. And Andy was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
The midfield three, it was just fantastic, everything about it. And then I thought, right, this is the player that, you know, I thought, amazing player. And then he sort of drifted out of the team a little bit.
Sort of lost out of love with it, didn't he, a little bit?
And then I didn't think he was going to get back. I honestly didn't think. I thought he was a fringe player at that point, and I didn't think he was getting back into the team. But all credit to him, he must have worked so hard to get back in Phil's eye line to go, right, okay, he deserves a place back in this team, to then get back in the team and to then consistently perform, I would say, if not the best, he's certainly been one of the top three performers in every game for the last 2 months, I would say.
Yeah.
Even when we haven't played well, I think he stood out as somebody who has played really well, if I'm honest, in poor teams and poor situations.
I love you, Andy.
And a big shout out for, he is a player who has won three successive promotions.
Not professional football,
he won with Stockport and then moved to us and then won two in a row with us. So he's been promoted three times in a row as Andy Cannon.
Isn't that the same as Ben Tozer? Has he done that as well?
Ben Tozer's done that.
He's done it four times though, hasn't he?
Ben Tozer hasn't done that. He's done it three times in 4 years.
Three times in 4 years.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he did it with Cheltenham.
Yeah.
Moved to us. We lost in the playoffs, and then he's got two back to back. So it's three in 4 years.
Yeah.
And he's three in 3 years. So three back to back to back for Andy.
Back to back to back.
Yeah. So absolutely fantastic. Lee at the post, didn't he, just before half time? Didn't know he'd hit the post until I watched the highlights.
Like sort of went
just went wide. Would have been nice to make it 3-0, because I think the first half display deserved 3-0, I think. It took us a while to break him down in the second half, but I felt like we controlled the game really well after that. Cannon got the goal he deserved after 76 minutes. I think it was an Elliot Lee shot, maybe, from the edge of the box. Keeper parried it. Andy just following in. Again, just the fastest. I think that's what we miss, you know, a lot of the time. When we're not playing well, I think what you'll notice is we're not quick enough to the second ball.
Mm-hmm.
And when we are playing well, that's one thing that we are doing well.
Yeah.
You know, is that we're getting to that second ball, you know, the knockdowns, all that sort of stuff. Andy's really good at that as well. I want him to be my friend.
Weirdo.
Mullin got the fourth. His second, amazing chasing down that was. It was a poor back pass, but I think Mullin made it a poor back pass because he was sprinting way before that guy had even passed it back.
Yeah.
He was sprinting to close that down, which is what he does really well.
Yeah.
And I just think that without that, I think that would have, the keeper would have come out and got that if somebody was just jogging. You know, it wasn't that short, but it's Mullin that made that. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't a poor back pass. It was Mullin that made it a poor back pass, I think, for me. Like you said, I'm gutted Arthur didn't get his clean sheet, but it was quite a poor goal to give away as well. I think it was a little tiny bit
complacent because we were like, obviously, winning.
Yeah, you're probably right. I think, you know, we've seen it with Wrexham teams over the years, you know, a little bit complacent towards the end of games. And I like seeing Owen O'Connell angry because he was fuming when that went in, because as defenders and goalkeepers, you're not going to get many goals. You can't celebrate goals in the same way that your strikers and your midfielders
are. Yeah,
yeah. As defenders and goalkeepers, it's that clean sheet that matters to you. It's keeping that clean sheet. And I like seeing him annoyed and angry that when something like that happens. Because
it makes you passion.
Yeah, because it makes you realise, which is weird because when he does his interviews and stuff, Owen, he seems more laid back than Arthur Okonkwo, if I'm honest. He could literally sink into a wall, I think, Owen, because he's so laid back. But it's nice seeing him, you know, a little bit het up when things like that happen.
Yeah.
We came away from the game feeling really positive, I think.
Skipping out of the race course.
It's just like we could almost touch league. I keep spitting.
You did.
So excited. I'll be honest.
I'm so excited.
I'm tired, right?
Well, if going to bed at like 3 o'clock in the morning is not going to help,
I'm tired. I did have a drink yesterday, obviously.
A few,
right? I'm not hungover as such, but it's just, I think, and I went to bed late. Did have a drink, and that you would think, well, that's the reason why you're so tired. But I think it's that spike of adrenaline on Saturday. Normally, people ask me why I wear a hat on the podcast a lot. And I'll be completely honest, right? We record on a Sunday morning, And I always stay up late on a Saturday night and I have a couple of beers and stuff like that. Not too much. Drink responsibly, kids. But, I get up in the morning and a little bit, you know, tired and all that after you've had a couple of beers the night before. And I look at my hair and I think, oh, I can't be bothered doing that. So I put a hat on. But today, I'm at a level where...
You don't care.
It's not that. I looked, I thought I need to put a hat on. And then I sort of went, I can't even be bothered going to get a hat. So it just is what it is today. That's the level of where we're at today. But yeah. Anyway.
Whereas I probably don't look as good as you, and I made an effort. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. We had another... after the game... It was so nice after the game because we do our full-time show. So anybody who doesn't know by now, we do a half-time show live from the ground if we are at the game. And it's, you know, obviously we're always at the home games. We do it at the away games if we're there, but we also do it. We do it from home if we're not at the away games. So we did our full-time show. We did a shorter one than normal because we were having a interview with Welcome to Wrexham documentary after the game. So we were walking to go and meet them and we bumped into a guy called Paul Radcliffe. Lovely guy.
Really nice.
I met him again on Saturday morning, actually. I'll tell you about that in a minute.
I didn't even know that.
Didn't you? Yeah. We met him. He asked for a selfie and we had a little photo with him. We had a chat with him. He's really
nice guy.
Really nice guy. We also had a little chat with a guy called John Busher. He was there. He's been going to. When did he say he'd been going since? Was it the 60s?
Yeah, because your dad said, oh yeah, so that's about the same as me.
So he'd been going since the 60s. Lovely guy. He said he watched our. When he doesn't go to the away games, he watches our halftime stuff as well, didn't he?
Oh, did he?
Yeah. So look, two lovely people.
Yeah. Thank you for making our evening even better.
Anybody wants to come and have a chat with us, you're more than welcome at the games. We're quite open to a chat and a photo if that's what you want.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had a little chat with Welcome to Wrexham. Quite buoyant. and then we walked with the crew. We walked with the whole Welcome to Wrexham crew back down into town because they were walking the same way as us. Something just fell on the floor. That was
yes,
it. You?
Was it was it? Me, yeah.
We walked with them. We had a nice chat with them and all that sort. And then for Saturday, we got a fan cam. Would it be, you know, off the back of?
I would just like to say that fan cam pretty much was Ryan cam because. I don't know how to use it, and also B, he just, I wasn't sitting with you, was I? Because I was in my seat.
I just hog it.
You do. He loves it.
I like the limelight.
He likes the limelight.
Other results from Tuesday: so Stockport beat Colchester 2-1. None of this really matters anymore.
Who cares?
But MK Dons didn't play because they'd played a game more. So that was our sort of game in hand. Mansfield won 1-0 at home to Forest Green. Barrow's game with Bradford was called off. This is quite an important one because Barrow's game was called off. What we needed to be promoted was Barrow to drop points either on Tuesday or on Saturday. So it was a 50-50 for us. It was perfect. We had two opportunities for it to happen. But when their game was called off on Tuesday, that made it slightly less sure that we were going to get promoted because instead of two opportunities for them to drop points, it was just then one opportunity, which was on Saturday. So that was quite relevant at the time. Crewe beat Morecambe 1-0. Who cares about Crewe? They're nowhere. Saturday, let's get on to the main feature, which is Saturday. Sort of pre-game. As I said, I picked up a Welcome to Wrexham camera.
I shook hands with Humphrey.
Yeah.
Didn't ask him to come on the podcast though, which you know.
No, he was quite busy. There was a few people there, so I had a shook hands with Humphrey Kerr, said hello. That is when I met Paul for the second time. He was outside the club shop. We had a little chat, and I said hello and all that sort of stuff, and I went back to the car. So that was quite an eventful morning for me. We don't seem. I don't know what I've written down here. Oh yeah, that was it. Oh, dear me, I can't read my own writing. What I was going to say was we got the fan cam, but we were a little bit apprehensive about using it, weren't we?
Because
whenever we have a fan cam, we don't seem to play very well, do we?
No.
So we were a little bit apprehensive, but we thought, you know, we've got to get on this bloody documentary somehow. So we're going to get...
Yeah, well, yeah, some of us aren't going to be in this documentary because Ryan's a hogger, a cam hogger.
It's one of them. I did a bit of filming walking the dog before the game. I had a little chat into the camera, a few people staring at me wondering what I was doing. But yeah, and then prior to the game, we went and had yet another interview with S4C. Anyone overseas who doesn't know, S4C is a Welsh medium, Welsh language TV channel over here in Wales.
Mm-hmm.
I speak Welsh, Sian doesn't, but we've done quite a few interviews with them. I'm sure we've mentioned it before. We had another interview with them pre-game.
Yep.
That documentary is coming out later in the year, so we'll tell you a little bit more about that when that comes about.
Yeah.
We met some Forest Green fans didn't we?
So
we were parking up the car, and what did they come and ask? What was
they asked about? They said, "Oh yeah, do you have to pay for parking?"
Yeah.
So obviously we told them that, and then another lad said, "Are there any pubs?" And he went, "Obviously not the turf." He said, "We don't want to get beaten up." And I said, "I know," because before he said we don't want to get beaten up, we said, "Oh yeah, you won't get in there."
Yeah.
But we didn't mean it because they were Forest Green fans. We meant because it's always absolutely round.
Yeah.
So we obviously made that clear to them.
They asked for our predictions. That's what it was.
Yeah.
So what's your prediction? And I knew I'd already gone for 3-0. And I thought, and I just looked at him and I went, I don't want to be rude. And he goes, oh, no, I'll give you my prediction. He goes, I reckon you're going to win 5-0.
And walked off.
And then just walked off. And I was like, it was such a weird juxtaposition of fans for me. We're always upbeat, positive, going into every game thinking we can win this.
Yeah.
And it was such a weird like juxtaposition where we just had these fans in front of us who had just been beaten down over the course of a season, who were just sort of going, probably going to win 5-0, mate. And it was just...
But the fact that they still travelled, what is it?
130 miles, and over 130 miles to still support their team when their gut reaction was,
5-0.
We're going to get hammered.
Yeah, and they, you know, once the final whistle went, they stayed and they clapped.
They did.
Not everybody, obviously.
No, but to be fair,
majority of them.
Yeah, they did.
They did, and that is just, that's kudos to you as fans.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
Like, there's always rivalry between clubs and stuff like that, but I think ultimately we're all there because we love football, not because.
Exactly, yeah. And I think sometimes, you know, when fans of rival clubs do something little, that's nice. It's just worth mentioning, I think.
Definitely, yeah.
So, yeah.
Definitely.
I don't think there was any nerves on Saturday. I think it helped that we were playing bottom of the league, if I'm honest.
I was nervous on Saturday.
I don't think it was nerves. I think it was expectation for me.
Well, that's why I was nervous, because I knew...
because of the expectation.
I knew what was needed, because obviously I woke up at 4:20 in the morning on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Because I just couldn't sleep. So I got my phone and I got open my notes and I had BBC Sport open and SofaScore both on my phone, and I was like doing loads of different stats, and I was like, right, okay.
What if this happens? What if that happens?
How many points can all the top seven realistically achieve? Not realistically achieve, what they can achieve.
Yeah.
In the next 7 games. So I put all that.
7? Three.
Sorry, top 7, 3. Oh my god.
Yeah. Oh no, yeah.
So I did. I put that down, and then I put, what does Wrexham need to do? And then, but I kind of went a bit.
Woke up in the morning, she had just had charts on the wall and stuff.
And then I was like, Ryan, look at this. I was going to put it on social media, but I just want you to have a little glance over it, because it might make absolute no sense whatsoever. And we decided that I wasn't going to put all the bumps that I actually put, because it basically, like you said, didn't you?
Yeah.
If I posted it a week ago, that sort of information people would have probably cared about.
Yeah.
But the day of the game, which could basically get us promoted. Not sure what people.
No, I think what we sort of discussed was that all people really cared about on the day of the Forest Green game was, what do we need to be promoted?
Which
that's
what I posted.
All
about.
People cared yeah. about, and that's what we put out there. But which is basically, we needed MK Dons and Barrow to both drop points, and we had to win. End of. That's all we needed to see.
So as we were watching the game on Saturday, because my seat's obviously not with Ryan, and that my seat's a bit further away. So I was sitting there, and I was on my phone. It's like, oh, and it, you could hear like behind me, and you could just get people going, yeah, Mansfield have just scored.
Yeah, just murmurs.
Yeah, and then you were going, Chan. Yeah. And then my brother was going yeah. like that, and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, I know, it was.
Sorry, if you're listening on audio, I've just put my two fingers up to yeah. say that Mansfield yeah. were on 2-0 or yeah. whatever they were on.
It was, you know, we talked last week as well, and it sort of blew what we said last week out of the water, because we were talking about how bottom of the league and top of the league, there's not a massive gulf in quality in League Two. I think that we sort of blew that out of the water a little bit on Saturday, because there was a huge gulf in class between yeah. us and Forest Green on Saturday. Although, having said that, I do think that most teams in League Two would have struggled with us on Saturday,
the way we set out
and the way yeah. we went about things. I think, you know, without putting too much on Forest Green, I don't think there's many teams that could have lived with us on Saturday.
Some big lads in Forest Green.
There is.
I remember looking at you going, God, there's some big lads.
Yeah.
Were, like Innes, was it his name, Innes?
Yeah, he was massive.
He
was like it's a like, giant money.
Who so kindly got us an own goal
yeah.
as well.
Yeah. So Lee puts 1-0 up on 17 minutes. It's the 16th of the season. Mullin made it 2-0 5 minutes later, 23 for the season. He's still 3 behind Macaulay Langstaff for the Golden Boot.
Still time, though.
There is still time. It's not too bad, though, as he did miss the first 6 games of the season.
Yeah.
Mullin.
That is pretty impressive.
So it's not bad. That's not too bad. You know, if you average a goal every other game, he's pretty much on par.
Are we playing Man United again in the summer?
Who are we playing? I can't remember now.
If we are, Parky, can you keep Mullin out, please?
Yeah, please.
Because we don't want him to be off for 6 games again.
No. At the point when Mullin scored the first one, so Barrow were 0-0 with Gillingham, but they'd gone down to 10 men because they had somebody sent off.
There was a few red cards in yesterday's games.
And MK Dons were 1-0 up, which them being 1-0 up, regardless what happened at Barrow, that meant no promotion, basically, at that point. Word started to filter around, like Sian said.
Yeah.
And that Mansfield had equalised.
So we were like looking at the clock going, oh, this
is like... Yeah, I know. So that was tick, 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 tick. Because it was like Barrow are dropping points. MK Dons are dropping points. We're winning 2-0.
Yeah.
And it was like, right, everything is where it needs to be.
Everything is aligning.
Yeah. We had that bizarre own goal for the third one.
Double deflection.
Yeah, deflection. I know. I didn't even know what had happened. I just saw that it went in.
Yeah,
I know. That was odd.
Yeah.
And then Mullin made it 4 just before half time. Game done.
Ryan was like, right, I'm going now. I'm going to go for a beer. He obviously didn't leave, but it was just joking.
I did go for a beer, though.
No, but you didn't. No, but you went, oh, I'm done now. I'm going for a beer. Yeah, yeah. Do you want a drink? And yeah. I was like, yeah, no.
Yeah, we did, you know, because it was done. Look, the atmosphere in the concourse at halftime was amazing. I mean, it was.
I had to look after my nephew and Alfie while Ryan and my brother had a drink. So I was babysitting.
Yeah, look, the atmosphere was fantastic down there. And everyone was like, look, it was a job done, but
I think people kind of had
from our point of view, we'd sort of done our bit.
Yeah.
You know, we were 4-0 up against a team who looked beaten in the first 5 minutes, to be honest.
Every time we scored, there was a player that was on the floor.
Yeah,
just
they
like,
just
oh.
looked like they've had one of them seasons where they've gone, look, we're just done now.
Yeah.
And that's how it sort of felt. And, you know, they were never coming back from two. When we were 2 up, do you know what I mean? But 3 and 4, I think it was, you know. And then when I went for a beer, we then found out that Gillingham had gone 1-0 up against Barrow. And then that was even better because now Barrow, the only way we weren't getting promoted based on that game was Barrow had to score 2 to win 2-1 and they only had 10 men.
Yeah.
So that wasn't happening. And then it was difficult in the second half to focus on the game.
It was. I missed so two goals because I was so like, I was so going, oh my God, oh my God.
It's 5 minutes into the second half. Mansfield went 2-1 up.
Yeah.
And it was just, everything was just growing then. Barrow went 2-0 down a few minutes later. So that game for us was done. 2-0 down to 10 men. You're not scoring in three. You're just not. Look, weird things happen in football. That wasn't happening. You know, that was done. Barney then scored a goal of the season contender.
Oh my God, the best goal I've had. You said before about Mullins' goal. Oh no, yeah. Cannon's goal, sorry.
Mullins it was.
Was it Mullins? Yeah. But I think Barnett's goal was just, it was absolute perfection.
It was. We did a little tweet and a TikTok about it because it was special.
It was beautiful.
I'll be honest. I'm going to be honest now, right? I brought tears to my eyes. It genuinely...
Yeah, you were very emotional, weren't you, yesterday?
Do you know when something happens and you go... Oh, what have I just witnessed? And we were at a pretty decent angle for it as well.
Absolutely.
So it was a bit of a whoosh.
And I loved it when he walked and he just moved his t-shirt. If you haven't seen it.
Yeah,
you've got to watch it. It's so funny. Well, not funny, but it's like funny what he does with his shirt.
Jack Marriott. Got his first goal.
That's one of the goals I missed, but I've watched it since. I was so happy for him.
Yeah, I was so
happy. The game that we get promoted and he scores his first goal since being with the club.
Yeah.
I think that's it now. I think the floodgates have opened. I think he's just going to be banging them in whenever he plays, that is, obviously.
Yeah. Maybe. I'm not sure. Look, we'll move on. Everyone sort of started to congregate around the pitch, didn't they? And then... People, I could just hear Mansfield gone 3-0 up. 3-0. Mansfield 3-0. Mansfield 3-0. 3-1. 3-1. And then it was like, I know everyone was like, right. And there was, the people were so close to the pitch. They had a corner, a throw in, didn't they?
I think it was a corner, but they.
I had no idea how they even took it.
I think a fan threw it back in the pit, on the pitch. Yeah.
Funniest thing for me. And then Mansfield went 4-1 up. It didn't matter by then, you know, but they went 4-1 up. Barrow were 3-0 down. We were winning 6-0. Everything was perfect. Everything was aligned for us. And the best part of it was the game was still going on. The linesman was, we were like, who's that in the middle? The linesman was in the centre circle.
He ran off the pitch.
He ran onto the pitch before the game had even finished. And he was standing in the centre circle waiting for the ref to blow.
It's probably like,
The ref blew early as well. He blew, the game hadn't quite reached its sort of end and he just blew. And and then we were all on the pitch again. And it's just like, it's so nice.
It's so good.
And it was like...
And it was, look, you know, having Alfie there as well, just makes it, you know, that little bit more. And because, you know, we've said before that Alfie's not massively a fan of football. Of going to the football, shall I say. But he wanted to come to this one because it had the potential of us going on the pitch. And he's got a season ticket, so why not? It was just really special to share it with, you know, and my brother, and because I don't think Zach was there when we promoted to National League, from National League.
I'm not sure.
So it was lovely. And the look on his face as well was just absolutely priceless. And I just, it was just such a special moment.
It was on the pitch. We saw Kiro R.I.
We
on,
did.
On the pitch. We said hello. We were doing a live while we were on the pitch. I'm not sure how well that came across, to be honest, because I think everyone was on their phone, so the signal wasn't great.
Terrible.
There was a guy come up to me. we've since messaged us since, and his name's Padge, and he come up to me, and he thought I was somebody off another Wrexham podcast. No, he said a name of another Wrexham podcast to me, and I just laughed at him, and I thought he was taking the mic because it was like he was referring to a different podcast.
Yeah.
He since messaged us and said, I'm mortified because I just got my podcast mixed up. I wasn't trying to be funny or anything. And I said, to be honest, I thought you were just having a joke, so it was all good. It was all quite funny. We had some photos on the pitch. And there was one photo that we asked someone to take some photos of us, and we had some landscape photos of us on the pitch as a family. And then we sort of milled around on the pitch for a bit. We asked another guy to take some sort of portrait photos.
This was the first photo we had done.
Oh, was it the first one? Yeah, whichever way around it was.
Yeah.
The guy who took photos of us, he took a few and he goes, "I've taken a few." And we're like, "Cheers, mate." And then, but what he actually did, he did take some photos of us, but the first photo that he took was of himself.
Oh.
I don't think he realised that the camera was on that way, and he took a photo of himself. But thank you for taking photos all the same.
So funny.
Special shout out to Chris Wilms as well, who made a, while we were live, he made a donation to the podcast, didn't he? Super Chat on YouTube. Massive thank you, Chris, for that.
Amazing.
It was absolutely amazing.
If you've watched our full-time live on YouTube, you'll hear us going, "What the hell?"
Yeah.
"Chris, we love you." Yeah. It was
so
it was
thank
good.
You. Thank you for that. I mean, it was what a day though. It was special.
What a day.
I think to be on the pitch, I think it is, I don't know, it just makes it. But are we spoilt now? Are we like, are we going to be getting to the end of a season going, "Why aren't we on the pitch again?"
Yeah.
Or are we going to get to the end of next season and be on the pitch again?
You don't know, do you? I'm going to remain optimistic because that is just what I like to do. But yeah, there was no me telling Ryan to, "You don't go on that pitch."
No.
Like, there was a little lad who sits by us all the time in front of us. Well, in front of you lot when I sit by you. He was like, are you going on the pitch? And I went, hell yeah.
Yeah.
And he was like, and I said to him, I said, "Just wait though until a load of people go on." I don't know why I'm looking down there. he's standing there. "Wait until a load of people go on first."
Yeah.
"And then you run on."
Yeah.
"And then it's not so bad."
Yeah.
But yeah.
No, definitely. It was a great experience. I think to go years and years and years without having it and then to have it twice in 12 months is just really special, I think.
Sorry, I'm looking down because I'm trying to find...
I know, it's very rude and off-putting.
No, it's not, because I'm trying to find a message from somebody who said...
I'm going to move on and do this little bit.
Well, no, that he said, I'm not going to find it because I can't even remember what he said, but he said that he saw us in Tesco's. Other supermarkets are available.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah, yes.
He was getting his Wrexham Lager. I can't remember what I've seen it on.
It was on there.
No, it wasn't.
No. Okay.
Can't remember. I think it might have been a tag or something. But anyway.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, he saw us in Tesco.
You in Tesco.
He saw me, but he wasn't sure it was me. So he didn't say anything. But hello, I'm really sorry. Like, I can't remember where you posted. So I can't even say what your name was.
We'll bring your name up again.
Yes.
Just a quick rundown of the league. Just for anybody who is interested. We've been promoted. We're done. No one can take that away from us.
The next two games are just for fun.
We're second in the league. We're 4 points behind Stockport and they have a game in hand. Okay. One win confirms the title for Stockport.
Which doesn't
take anything away from us. They just win the league.
Yeah.
For anyone still holding on to any sort of hope that we might win the league, I will explain to you how that happens. So, what we need is for Stockport to only take 1 point from their next two games, or none. So that means they would have to draw one and lose one of their next two games. If that happens, there is a final day showdown with Stockport
day
at the
of reckoning
to win the title. Look,
that would be so good though, wouldn't it?
It would.
It's not going to happen. Let's
just quash this now, okay?
Yeah.
For anybody still holding on to it, they have won six in a row, Stockport. They also haven't lost a game since the 17th of February, okay? So I'll say it's unlikely. Let's just be happy with what we've got. Look, it would be great. It'd be nice for a bit of drama just for the last day of the season, just to play them knowing that, ooh, maybe we might win a title.
Again.
again. You know, it would be nice, but I wouldn't cling on to it too tightly, because it's quite unlikely is what I'm saying. Just something to mention, Elliot Lee's been nominated for the EFL League Two Player of the... Is it the EFL player? No, the EFL League Two Player of the Season, yes, isn't it? Alongside Davis Keylor-Dunn and someone else who
I'm surprised,
isn't going
to
win it.
What's his name? Macaulay Langstaff. I'm surprised he's not on there.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Even Paul Mullen.
I don't know who makes the decisions on that.
But yeah, so...
Jodie Jones. That's it. Notts County,
yeah.
Jodie Jones.
So I don't think that's something that people can vote for. I think that's like an EFL
pure... Yeah.
They've got like a panel or whatever. So, yeah. But I think they'll announce... I think it's in July. Soon.
Look, we got one game coming up this week. It's away at Gresty Road, or the Mournflake Stadium, however you like to call your grounds by the sponsor or by the actual name. They're only 28 miles away, so very much a derby. Saturday, the 20th of April. It's been moved to a 12:30 kickoff at the police's request, yeah, because it's a derby. Should be available for everyone on iFollow. Last league game was the 3-3 draw in September. Ryan Barnett was sent off, and a last-minute Stephen Fletcher equaliser. They're not yet guaranteed playoffs. They're not guaranteed playoffs, but they're in a very strong position.
Yeah.
So they do need to pick up points. So they're not going to be sitting back and, you know, letting us run amok. Let's put it like that.
So on Saturday, they lost 3-0 at home to Grimsby.
Yeah, the wheels have come off. The wheels have truly...
They've come off the bus.
They have. They've only won one of their last seven, crew.
So they're fifth on 70 points. They've won 19 games, drawn 13 and lost 12. Their top scorer is Elliot Nevitt, who has scored 15. Prediction? Predictionio.
I think before...
Would you like me to go first? Because
no, I think what we... before we give our prediction, maybe what we should do is discuss the next point on that list. And the next point on there is... what team do we put out? What team plays against Crewe? You don't want to lose against someone just down the road. Very much a derby, I would say, 28 miles away. You don't want to lose to someone like that. But at the same time...
You want to give the first...
What? Do we put our first team out? Or do we let Marriott start?
Well...
Do we let Jordan Davis start?
Well... Because I know that you're saying with the Stockport thing, it's not possible. But
mathematically, it's possible.
This is what, yeah. And I think we.
But it's not going to happen.
The more goals that we get.
Yeah.
Because obviously, we're still, you know, we're not going to go past third.
No.
But we're still fighting for second or third, aren't we?
Does anyone really care
if we
finish second or third,
well,
though?
Well, probably, they probably do.
Who?
A little bit.
Who cares about whether we finish second or third?
I think maybe Parky might make a couple of changes.
Yeah.
Like maybe...
Mendy with his crutches. Maybe Mendy with his crutches. He can go on the left.
Mendy, my heart. When I saw him yesterday on the pitch.
On the pitch on his crutches. It was.
I was like, oh, bless him. Yeah. But he was chuffed. So yeah, I think a couple of changes maybe.
Yeah.
But
nothing too much.
I don't think he's going to do too much, because at the end of the day, we've still got two games to play, and we want to get as many goals as we can. I know it doesn't make any difference, but it sort of does in a way.
I get you. You don't want to just go, forget it.
Yeah, just let's put our reserve team on.
Prediction.
Okay, my prediction for Crewe is, this is, by the way, this is all of the predictions over the, I'm winning, by the way. Just so you know.
How many are you ahead?
Well, you're on one and I'm on four.
Really? I've got one right all season.
You have.
That. I'm sorry I asked that question now. That's awful.
Old fan, new fan. Anyway, it's just luck, isn't it? So I'm going to go, I think.
That's terrible.
I'm going to go. Do you know what? I'm just going to go positive and out there. I'm going to go 4-0.
4-0. I was going to go positive as well. I was going to go 3-1.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Buzzing.
Okay. Happy days.
Happy days.
Dragon Chat. Look, really important, I think, at this time of the year. It's a mental health peer support group. They run a weekly Zoom call, two of them, actually. A Monday at 8 p.m. is for women, And on Thursday at 7 p.m. is for men. The best thing to do is follow Dragon Chat Dosh Steve Lloyd on
Dosh.
Twitter. Dosh. Bosh. Dragon Chat Bosh Steve Lloyd on Twitter. The reason I say it's really important at this time of the season is people use football as a lifeline. Football is, they might not have much outside of a Saturday or a Tuesday, and they use football. Football is very much
a life.
We've got each other, is the point I'm making. Yeah. You know, some people don't have that sort of support network outside of going to games on Saturday or a Tuesday. And when that's taken away during the summer, that can be quite tough for a lot of people. So things like this are really important, especially, you know, after something like Saturday as well, where you get this huge spike of adrenaline and emotion.
Yeah.
And when you go back to your normal everyday life, sometimes that can be a little bit tough for some people. So look, it's really important. They're really friendly, really welcoming. I would highly recommend it. If you want to go on one of the calls, the details of how to get on them are down in the description if you're watching on YouTube. Failing that, obviously, you can follow them on Twitter. And failing that, if you're struggling to get the information, just email us. That I would say email us or message us on social media. You can get in touch with us on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, or email us, like I said, at me, the wife, and WrexhamAFC@gmail.com. I just wanted to shout out a couple of people. Look, we have had, I'm not going to read out messages because we've had so many this week.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, loads of people saying get well soon to Shan. Because she wasn't very well last week. Loads of people just messaging about various different things.
Yeah.
We obviously can't read them all out. What I want to do, though, is there's a few people who haven't actually messaged us before. So I just wanted to shout them out.
This isn't on my...
I just wanted to shout them out as new people who've got in touch. We got Roy Swonger. I want to say Swonger. From Merrimack.
Where's that?
I want to say New Hampshire.
In America, then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got Chuck LaPlante.
Fabulous name.
Andrew Jean Manns. Mr. Chun. Shimasata. Graham got in touch, and Hugh Davis as well. So thank you to all of you for getting in touch.
And thank you to everybody who's like supported. I mean, it's like we're like... It's like the Ant and Dec show finishing. If you're not British, you obviously might not know what that is. But yeah, it's like, you know, we're finishing the podcast.
Yeah, forever. We're not
because we're going to be back on Monday.
Monday. Next Monday.
Next week on.
Well, we'll be doing a half-time show and a full-time show on Saturday.
So I'm getting excited about everything.
Get your order. Yes. Get your order correct.
Yes.
But so. Look, it's been a fantastic week.
We
love sharing all this stuff with you guys. It's our favourite thing to do, isn't it? Absolutely. It's onwards.
I feel like we've got like a little family, haven't we?
Yes, we definitely do. There's no quiz this week. Because just everyone was too drunk to be coming up with questions and stuff like that.
When you say everyone, you just mean you, because I don't drink.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Look.
Don't bring me down to your level.
I'll ask you one question.
Okay, go on.
Are we going up next year?
Yeah, baby. Back to back to back.
Yeah, time's going up. Ole, ole. Right. We will see you again next week. Bye.